The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Teddy's been awesome and amazing, like big brother to me. So, you know, that he told the guys to move my locker next to him just so he can take me under his wing. And I ain't never had that before. You know, I've never been next to my quarterback. You know, I always talk to him, picking his brain.
The legend of Teddy Bridgewater grows. Let's give you an update in terms, Tyler, of what's going on with injuries. We found out today Patrick Surtain. Well, first let me start with Glasgow, and that's actually more questions. But they have more questions about him today, Tyler. That does not bode well for Sunday, unfortunately. I hope I'm wrong on this because we're talking about an irregular heartbeat, which sounds to me terrifying.
So they found stuff? That's what that means?
I don't know. They were still talking about tests today. And okay. You know what? Hold on. So, Fangio on Glasgow.
It's iffy. He's doing a lot of tests today, and we'll see what those results bring us back.
Okay. So, hopefully everything's cool. But hearing that on Wednesday is not the greatest sign. We'll see.
Yeah, not a good sign. I will say this, though. I think that the heart is one of those things like, hey, either you passed the test or you didn't. And if you passed the test, then they could probably put him out there still.
Yeah. Well, let's knock on wood. Everything's good. How about Bradley Chubb?
He's going to practice today on a limited basis and give it a go. So I'm probably better able to answer that tomorrow.
Okay. That doesn't sound good either, but we'll see.
No, it doesn't sound good. I guess I'm surprised by our current status quo with Bradley Chubb. I am too. You know, the team put it out there that he was going to play. Like, they put it out there on their own Twitter account just a day or two after his injury. Yeah. Like, hey, don't worry, nothing to see here. Bradley's going to be playing in the game.
Right.
All right, so if he misses week one, I look back on it, and I'm like, hindsight 2020, great. We won the game. You didn't need him. You were playing on turf. Fantastic. Take another week off. But all right, if he misses this week, now it's like, wow, what is really going on?
I agree.
Like, really, where are we at with Bradley Chubb?
Great question. Hey, check out the Twitter feed. See what everybody was saying about Bradley Chubb, because this is before practice. Practice was at 2:15. So see what everybody's saying about Chubb out there today, if anything.
I'm bummed out for Bradley that he's going through all this, man, because I'm telling you, with the limited opportunities that he had during training camp, he was terrorizing Garrett Bowles.
Yeah.
Like, he was only out there for maybe 5-10 snaps per practice sometimes, but it was 5 straight pass rushes that he was in the quarterback's face. Like, I was really excited to see Bradley Chubb this year. I'm still excited to see Bradley Chubb this year. I hope whatever these injuries are, it's not stuff that is going to prevent him from playing at the level that he was during training camp.
Richard, Kevin, what are you guys seeing on Chubb there? I mean, is any of his Troy
limited?
Was Troy videotaping the stretch and the warm up, and he's got a helmet, or what does limited mean? He was limited Friday, and he had a helmet, and he was running through drills. Like, I was out there in the garage doors. It was so funny. There he is. He's got a helmet on. He's running around. He's going through drills. And then afterwards, it's like, well, he's limited. So, I mean, is he limited in practicing with the team? Is he limited and off to the side? I mean, you just got to look up some of the muggles. They'll tell you what's what. I mean, what does limited mean? I know what unlimited means.
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Yeah. We'll get to it. It doesn't look good, though, so we'll see. The Darby thing was interesting. You know, nobody knew Fangio had no idea he was even hurt until till Monday.
What?
Yeah.
Fangio didn't know?
He kind of had some tightness of late, so I'm not exactly sure when it happened, but I didn't even know. It was after we spoke out here on Monday that they told me he was going to go get it checked out. He reported, and on the MRI, they showed a little bit of a tear that he needs to miss some time.
How about that?
Well, you know, I guess what that sounds like to me is that's Ronald Darby probably didn't realize that he was hurt, because if he reported right after the game that I've got something going on with my hamstring, that's going to be in the injury report. That's going to be discussed with the head coach. It sounds to me like that's one of those situations that you play the game, you go home, you come back to the building a day or two later, and you're like, I'm not right. So you report it a couple days later,
mm-hmm.
and then that's why Vic probably didn't know. So I'm guessing that Ronald Darby didn't even tell the trainers about it after the game because he didn't know that he was hurt.
I think we've all been through it, and you probably more times than everybody else is a pro player, but I mean, when you get hurt or you fall down, don't you always say the same thing in your mind? I'll be okay. I'll be okay. I'll be okay. Like, hope I'm okay. You know, you don't just assume you're going to be, you know, ow. It's over for me. I don't know. I think the mental approach is, let me give it some time. I'll be okay. You don't immediately, you know, suspect, unless it's something dramatic, right?
No, I mean, you know the stuff that I'm going to be able to play through, or at least you're hopeful that you're going to be able to play through,
right?
Versus a real injury.
How many times did you hold off and tell the trainers about stuff?
Oh, all the time, but there's a lot of reasons why you hold off, mm-hmm. and I regret it all now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because now that I'm retired and I had to go through my workers' comp stuff and not everything was documented.
Oh, no kidding.
I had some big-time challenges getting paid or even just getting surgeries covered that should have been covered because I didn't tell the team all the time. Why didn't I tell the team? Okay. Well, because I was always a bubble guy, and I don't want to crack the door open. And if I admit that I'm hurt right now, well, they might actually make me sit out a game. And if I sit out a game, well, I might crack that door open. And I might not ever get my spot back. So there's a million reasons why you hide it. But there's also a million reasons why you play through it when you are a starter because you don't want to let your peers down.
Good insight, man. Okay, Fangio about the Judy injury and what that's going to do.
I don't think it changes it. Obviously, we're going to miss Jarrett. Obviously, it hurts our depth. But, you know, KJ, Tim, and Cortland, Kendall, Spence, you know, they'll be able to go in there and fill the void. But, you know, Jerry was having a hell of a camp, as you all noticed, had a really good game going the other day, and we're going to miss him while he's out.
This one sucks. This to me is way worse than the Darby injury. And I think Tim Patrick is, like Stokely said it earlier, and watching Cortland Sutton, I do think Tim Patrick now is your number one receiver. I do. Or maybe, this is crazy, what about KJ Hamler? And I wish I could say Cortland Sutton, but I just don't know that he's there.
KJ, he doesn't have the body type to be the number one. I guess, in theory, you could be if you're that athletic, but he's not that athletic that he could be a number one.
Mm-hmm.
Cortland should be your number one, plain and simple. He should be. Like, if he's healthy, Cortland Sutton is, he was a fringe top 10 player. Like, that's who he was. So, yeah, he should be your number one. But is he healthy? I don't know. I don't think he's 100%. And then you add in the kind of other intriguing factors of Teddy Bridgewater just really clicked with Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah.
If he was really clicking with Jerry, that just means, doesn't mean that he didn't like Cortland, but he wasn't focusing on him.
Cortland Sutton had 3 targets, 1 catch for 14 yards. 3 targets. And you know one of those targets was that deep pass. We didn't have the giddy up to quite get there. Maybe it wasn't the greatest thrown ball, but still. And I did hear Stokely point out and Zach point out. And I've seen texters pointed out that on that particular play, it just didn't seem, even if it wasn't a great pass. Where was the? I can go get that. And you said earlier, well, that's really not his game anyway. But
it just never has been. So, like, I guess that surprises me to hear Stokely talking that way. Look, it's his spot. It's his position. I like to default towards guys when I can, but I just look at Cortland Sutton like he's never that dude that you say, hey, throw it as far as you can and just let him go catch up to it.
Yeah,
no, he's the guy that you say, throw it as high as you possibly can and let him come down with a jump ball.
All right. I guess I just make the argument, well, shouldn't your number one guy have a little bit of that giddy up? Shouldn't your number one guy have a little bit of that burst? Where
was Brandon Marshall ever that guy? No, Brandon was like he had enough giddy up, but he was also just a physical freak out there, right? Every guy's going to be a little bit different. You just got to know what their skill sets are.
Okay. Was Brandon Marshall a true number one receiver in the NFL?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
You kidding me? Name a team that he wasn't. Well, I'm sure there were a few. He played for a long time, but
you're right. Brandon was a great possession receiver. You didn't think of him as a big time burner, but he was just so physical. He was, it was a ridiculous cover. I think Tim Patrick's your number one guy now. I think Jeudy was your number one guy. I think that had been established. I think what Fangio was saying during camp, it was obvious. We were all talking about it.
Well, we're about to find out if Cortland's healthy or not, because if he's not the number one, if he doesn't have the most targets after this week, there's a reason. Teddy's going to throw the ball to the dude that he feels most confident in,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that Tim Patrick's a better player than Cortland Sutton. Mm-hmm. Not at all. Mm-hmm. No, Cortland's a better football player. So if he's healthy, in theory, Teddy should be throwing the ball to him more often. Okay. But if he's not healthy, then he probably won't.
On the defensive side of the ball, Pat Surtain is just going to go to Darby's spot. That's it. The end. He's going outside. They're not going to mess around. They'll figure out something else with that dime linebacker, whatever they were doing with Pat Surtain. We'll just do something else there. He's not going to move inside. That's it. He just goes to Darby's spot on the outside, which we more or less, you know, suspected, but we got confirmation of that today.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, you drafted Patrick Surtain to play that spot. Like, that's where he's going to be playing, whether it's the number one or the number two. He's going to be playing on the outside against the top wide receivers in the long term. So why would you make a move? There's no way that Bryce Callahan is going to be better off playing outside than he is inside and vice versa with Patrick Surtain. So good opportunity for Patrick Surtain to just run away with it. Now the interesting part is going to be how well does he play? Because if he's got some rookie moments, all right, Darby probably gets his job back, because I could see Patrick Surtain having a few moments like he did last week where you just get exposed here and there.
Yeah.
And you go back to the veteran. But if he balls, wow, man, Darby just got paid and he's going to turn into a role player.
Well, that's AJ Boye. It's not like we haven't had it before.
Yeah.
We paid Juwan.
Well, AJ Boye was a little bit different, though, because he got hurt and just wasn't out there.
Okay.
Like, Darby, like, I know he's hurt right now, but I'm saying if when he comes back.
Juwan James got paid a lot of money for not doing anything.
Yes, he did.
Here's Surtain today. By the way, just, you know, some observation notes. It is striking seeing Pat Surtain in person. It is something else, because he's just such a large cornerback.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to run into Steve Atwater today. And I am always blown away that Steve Atwater was a safety. I mean, that to me he's the largest human being I've seen as a safety ever. But when I look at Patrick Surtain, I get some of those same feelings that I've had about Steve Atwater. Like, you are just the largest cornerback that I have seen in forever.
You know, when we were in.
Are you concerned a little bit, just a pinch, that might actually be a bit of a negative?
Well, it would concern me if he was trying to play in the slot. Yeah. That's why I didn't want him to play in the slot. That's not who he is. He doesn't have the hip mobility that some of these interior guys have. It doesn't concern me. No. I mean, the game's getting bigger. The game's getting more physical. And yeah, we've got some small speedsters like Tyreek Hill, but for the most part, your number ones are still big physical guys. That's who he's going to be going up against. You know, when I was playing in Seattle, we had a big backfield. Cam Chancellor at safety.
Mm-hmm.
That dude was a monster.
Huge.
And then how about this? Gosh, you remember Brandon Browner?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. That dude was 6'5", 6'6", playing corner. Like, just an absolute freak, playing corner.
All right, here's Surtain about what he expects from Trevor Lawrence.
He's the same fundamentals, the same poise. You know, I think they got a very young team out there, very talented team as well. So, you know, we expecting it to be a good game. You know, he's a great quarterback in his right, so it should be a good game.
Mm-hmm. How about this one? Does he remember his first matchup with Lawrence? This is Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, Patrick Surtain at Alabama, right? I mean, wow. So your first matchup.
Yeah, I started that game. We was both freshmen at the time, both young pups. He got the edge on us. So, you know, we had our fair share of battles here and there.
The game he's talking about is the national championship game when they were young pups.
Right, right.
What are you now?
You know, things change quickly, D-Mac.
I guess.
You know? Dog years.
It's crazy, man. But that's, I'm trying to think, is there anything else that we care about here? Bradley Chubb, we got. Surtain, we got. How else are we doing? I think we're doing all right with everything else, right? Yeah, Jerry Jeudy. Ah, no, we're probably going to kill the Jaguars, though, no matter what.
Man.
It doesn't seem to matter.
I do look at it, and I just really don't see. Name a spot that they're better at. Like, find a spot. I don't know where it is. Yet alone a group, a positional group. I don't know, man.
Watching tape this on them was.
It's not very often that I watch film in the NFL and I feel like that team is just so clearly inferior that they don't even look like they belong.
Boy,
they just
doing
are
it,
not.
We?
They
we're
are.
Doing it.
They are. I know.
We're
I know. I hate
it.
Talking about it like this, D-Mac. But hey, look, I got to keep it real about the film that I watched, and the film that I watched was not good. They were not on the same page. They were not well coached. They just were not. They didn't have a hat on a hat. There was a lot of stuff that was going wrong.
Do I hear Teddy Bridgewater? Oh, do you have the presidential music? We do have Teddy Bridgewater's opening speech.
I love it.
I don't know why I still remain so fascinated by the opening statement of Teddy Bridgewater every week. But yes, go ahead, roll the opening. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm coming to the podium now. And don't forget, this is how Teddy Bridgewater starts off every press conference. He takes no questions. He just makes an opening statement.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, Teddy Bridgewater.
There's so much room for improvement. You know, we all, you know, make notice of the third down conversions, some of the third down conversions, the fourth down conversions. But I think if we can just improve on first and second down and continue to make third downs more manageable, we can clean up some of the procedural things as far as formations, communicating, and just playing fast. I think we can get out to a good start. And talk about getting out to a good start, that has to be our mindset this week. Coach Sherman mentioned that it took us to like the 34th play of the game last week to take the lead. You know, we want to be greedy with starting fast and have that mindset that, man, let's start fast so that, you know, throughout the course of the game, our defense could just have that energy, take the field with that confidence. And like Coach Sherman said, when you're playing ahead, you know, it's easier to call games. So that's our mindset going into this game. We want to, you know, execute at a high level. We're going to have different guys who step up for us this week. We're looking forward to them making plays. You know, we can't blink.
Again, that was not in response to a question. That's just what he got up and started talking about.
Well, you kind of covered all the bases, buddy. Good for you. Hey, you don't want us to ask you any questions? Well, just answer them all for us. I mean, what do you even follow that up with? Like, seriously.
I don't know. Oh, I followed it up, actually.
What did you ask?
Oh, that's so funny. I actually did follow.
You had the highest EPR in the NFL this week. Was that the best game of your career?
Man, I still don't know how to read the QBR thing. Honestly, man, it was just a game where we executed and in tough situations, the third downs, fourth downs, red zone, and you know we could still be better. I think we were like 2 for 5 as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone. So we want to improve in those areas. I really don't even know much about QBR, honestly. The guys did a great job of just making plays when we get the ball to them, and that's what we talked about all camp, all spring, just get the ball to these guys and let them make plays.
So he deflects off himself. He gives praise to his teammates. He mentions areas they actually could get better in a game that was virtually perfect, and then he discounts the analytics of QBR, which, of course, he knows what QBR is. Please, give me a break.
I actually believe him that he doesn't know all that goes into it. I really do. I don't know what goes into it.
Yeah, I get it. You know, you're not a quarterback playing in the NFL. I think if you were a quarterback playing in the NFL, you'd understand what QBR was.
It's just, you'd be amazed how little you pay attention to that stuff. Like, you want your coach's grade, and like that tells you everything you need to know. Like, did my coach like me today or not? If my coach told me I was bad, then I was bad. If he told me I was good, I was good.
Like, I don't know what OPS means or batting average. What's this RBI thing? I don't know. I just play baseball.
All right. You know, I could see Teddy having a lot of games where he manages things at a similar level. What made that game so unique was all the off-schedule stuff that he did. Like he was bouncing around the pocket. He was running around. He was getting off schedule. He was giving stiff arms. He was throwing across his body. He seriously was doing stuff that you would look at it, and people on the text line were calling me nuts earlier. I'm telling you, he did stuff that if it was Patrick Mahomes that did it, ESPN would be having it on replay for an entire week. Like, he did some radical stuff in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that could be repeated on a consistent basis for Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think that that's who he is. But goodness gracious, if it is, I mean, you want to talk about the come-arounds of all come-arounds, we're about to get it.
Yeah. I think he's going to roll. I think they're going to have a great game. I think they'll use their tight ends. Jacksonville will not be able to handle it whatsoever. It'll open up deeper shots. I bet KJ Hamler does not drop another pass that hits him in the chest. I think the Broncos are going to, I think they're going to kill him. And I think they're going to run the ball a ton. I bet they put
it. Well, they should. You should run the ball. I mean, they gave up 160 some yards on the ground last week. They gave up 300 yards in the air as well. So you look at it like there's opportunities to be had, but you always want to control the clock and you want to control the time of possession. Whether you're playing a good team or a bad team, you just want to be in control, and you want your defense, like the best thing we could ever do for our defense this year offensively is just hold on to the ball. We've got a really talented defense. Let's not have them out there too much, right? And if you control the ball, you're going to keep them fresh, and that's going to be a dangerous D.
By the way, their best skill player is LaVisca. How about that? It's kind of for Jacksonville, aside from Trevor Lawrence, I suppose. He's their best weapon. And even, you know, we're not afraid of LaVisca. We love LaVisca, but we're
LaVisca's
not
good, dude. Though, I mean, you got to have a game plan for him.
Yeah, we're going to win.
I can't even find it. I wish I could. I mean, I wish I could find more on film to be like, D-Mac, you need to be terrified of this. Yeah. Like you're glossing over
this
part.
I'll tell you this. Have you taken a sneak peek at the Jets at all? Have you looked at them?
No.
I have.
I mean, 1 week at a time.
I know. I get it. But you just peek it.
Well, 1 week at a time.
That's going to be a different story.
But well, I told you before the season ever began that was my sleeper.
Yeah.
They got a good coach. They've got a good team. Mm-hmm. I like Zach Wilson a lot.
Yep.
He looked good in preseason. I believe you. I mean, I haven't watched it. I haven't gotten that far, but I totally believe you.
Yeah, I'd sneak peek. By the way, Trevor Lawrence looked confused, Tyler. He looked confused. His accuracy was crazily all over the place, and his interceptions were horrific. And then you have all this, you know, Urban Meyer, USC, and I don't want to talk to the Denver media, and I, you know, it's all this kind of crazy crap.
Look, he's still got to score points. He's still got to play football. The Jags are dangerous enough offensively with Trevor Lawrence that they could put up 27 points on you in a heartbeat. So offensively, you got to take care of things, and you got to score a lot of points. Just because things look messy, you can't gloss over the fact that Trevor Lawrence is still capable of scoring very quickly.
There you go. We can keep it interesting the rest of the week. Hey, by the way, what did you think of Philip Lindsay when you were watching the game for the Texans?
Well, there wasn't much.
He only had eight carries.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
Scored a touchdown. You think Philip's happy with that role?
No, but I think
he's all right.
The longer that season goes, the more messy it gets for the Texans, the quicker Philip Lindsay is going to rise to the top.
Okay.
Because as stuff goes downhill, it's really easy to fold as a player, and it's really easy to just not give your full effort. And when that happens, you're going to see Philip Lindsay rise to the top because that dude just doesn't have it in him to quit.
Yeah, but Ingram had 26 carries, and Philip had 8.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they're all happy in Tech. They probably didn't think they're going to win more than 2 or 3 games this year, so they're probably happy.
There's a lot of teams that surprised. I mean, Eagles, Texans.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Remember what was that piece that we read about how the Broncos were going to start 1-7 or something and the Jaguars were going to start 4-1? Do we remember the article that the Jaguars, ESPN, right? Yeah, the analytics, the nerds, the Uber muggles said the Jaguars are going to start 4-1. Yeah, right. Got a question for Tyler? Let's get to it. Mount Palumbus Speak, 303-713-1043. That's next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son, a man of mythical and physical proportion, University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain, Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Palumbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Palumbus on this day?
This comes from Tom in Golden. And Mount Palumbus Speak is powered by 5280 Exteriors. Okay. Tyler, any chance Melvin and the rookie, come on now, know his name, Javonte Williams. Any chance Melvin and the rookie both rush for 100 yards in this game?
Mount Palumbus, speak!
Not very many opportunities for that in the NFL, but you got one this weekend. Yeah, it could happen. You know, it's going to take Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams doing something like Melvin Gordon did last week. You're going to have to pop a 40-yarder in there. You're going to have to pop a 50-yarder. If you get both guys go over 100 yards, it's probably because one of them had a huge chunk yardage gain that's in there. I do think you should have a goal of a minimum of like 130 yards on the ground this week. And anything less than that, and you just weren't committed to it to the way that you should be, because although it is not a great secondary and although they allowed a lot of yards in the air, you always want to be run first. And that's who we are. That's what the identity of this football team is. So I would look at it like that's a stretch, asking both guys to get 100 yards. But, hey, man, very few teams I would say it's achievable against. This is one of them. This is one of them.
Last week, the Texans had 41 rushing attempts. Four came from their quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, who looked great against them. 26 from Mark Ingram, 8 from Philip Lindsay, both averaging 3.3 yards per carry. So with 26 carries at 3.3, it was 85 yards for Mark Ingram. You'd have to have 30 carries each at 3.3 to get 100 yards each. So I don't see 60-plus carries coming from the Broncos running back. So
I mean, the bigger problem is the average there. So you got to be averaging more than 3.3.
So I would say not only
got to average like 7 or 8 if you're going to get to 100 each.
And by the way, it's pretty clear what the Broncos really want to do is extend drives, make them long. I mean, they only had 8 possessions, and the last they really had 7 possessions, and the last one they just decided to screw up my coffee bet and hand it off to Javonte. It was their only 3-and-out was their final possession that they didn't seem to really care about. And so I'd say no, but so what? You know, I mean, the Texans put up 160 rushing yards against them on 41 carries, and they totally dominated the game. They threw the ball 33 times. They scored 37 points. I mean, you're going to be able to control things against the Jacksonville Jaguars. At least you should. I mean, I really don't know.
Well, it's a couple things, T-Mac. Number one, yes, the opportunity to control them is there. Like, the opportunity to run the ball is there. But it's more like, who are we? And who are we going to be on a week-in, week-out basis? This is who we need to be every single week. If we're going to have opportunities to win games, we have to control the clock. We have to have long possessions that finish with 6 points, 7 points, right?
Yeah.
We can't have long possessions that finish with 3. We got to finish with 6. And then we got to kick that extra point. We got to get that 7, right? But with Teddy Bridgewater, you know, I don't want this guy sitting back, dropping back from shotgun, tossing the ball 45, 50 times per game. That's not who we want him to be. You give him play action. You give him a strong running game. You give him heavy personnel. And a lot of quarterbacks could be successful when you've got a strong running game.
Our guy, Ken in Aurora. What's up, Ken? Do you think Chubb should lose weight to take pressure off his knees and ankles?
No. I mean, Bradley Chubb is who he is. I mean, he's not overweight. He's not even close to overweight. I mean, if he was fat, I would understand what you're talking about. But Bradley Chubb's not fat.
Oh, he's definitely not fat.
He's just a big dude.
Big boned.
You can't change who you are. I mean,
that's what I said for years. turned out to be wrong, actually.
Well, no. Like I said,
you can't change who I am.
I said if you were fat, you can change that. But that's not who he is, right? So,
Rob. Rob's making fun of himself. I'm not going to make fun of you like that, Rob. You see what Rob called himself? Don't be mean to yourself, no. Rob.
I mean, if he's making fun of himself, you can make fun of him.
Yeah, believe in yourself.
That's free reign.
Believe in yourself, Rob.
What'd Rob say?
After seeing the Raiders beat the Ravens last night, does Week 4 versus the Ravens become a must-win game for the Broncos in order to reach the playoffs? Against the Ravens? No. Must-win game at home against the Ravens? Come on now.
If you handle business the way you should handle business over the next couple weeks, you're in great shape. You've got a ways to go before you've got a must win after that. I mean, honestly, you take care of business against the Jags. Great. We're 2-0. We've now got 2 road wins. We're halfway to the total target on road wins of what we need on the year. Then we got the Jets. All right. Okay. So let's assume we take care of business against the Jets. You're 3-0. You just bought yourself a lot of breathing room. You bought yourself a dropped game against the Ravens, a dropped game against the Steelers. You bought yourself some time. So, no, it's not a must win. I mean, take care of business this week and next week, and all of a sudden you've got some space to breathe.
I'm seeing some other texts because people have great memories. We have the best listeners. D-Mac overlooked the Giants in 2017. Can you believe somebody would even remember that? I mean, that is absolutely true, 100% true. And that was a crazy year. The Giants were like 0-5 or something. The Broncos were 4-1 or maybe undefeated. I don't know. And then the Giants were coming here on like, I want to say a Sunday night or a Monday night. I mean, it was like an impossible game for the Giants to win. And I do remember that week because it was kind of like this week, because every angle we looked at it from every measurable, there was just absolutely no way we could possibly lose to this team.
Yeah.
Impossible. And not only did the Giants beat the Broncos, they humiliated them. They worked the Broncos. It was like jaw-dropping.
I mean, I'll use a little bit different jargon. Like, if they are who they showed in week one, there's no way that we could lose to them. But they're probably not going to be the same. They're going to get better. And Urban Meyer, he's going to figure this thing out over time, because you know what? Urban Meyer is a pretty dang good football coach. He probably will succeed if he's got enough time to figure out the NFL. Mm. He'll probably even be successful in the NFL. But he's got to figure out his process. Week by week, you will see the Jags get better. Mm. So the team that we saw in week one, they're probably going to be better than that.
So
you can't sit here and assume that that's how bad they're going to be in week two. No, I think they will get better. But even with getting better, I still look at it and I say that's still a team that we're significantly better than.
All right, I've heard this a couple times, so thank you, Chris, for texting this in. But I've heard this comment from more than just Chris, but thank you, Chris. I hope I'm wrong, but does it feel like Chubb is starting to compare to Shane Ray and Sylvester Williams?
Well, I don't even understand those two comparisons.
First round picks that were serviceable but weren't worth extending and ultimately had disappointing NFL careers.
No, not even close. He might end up being in the category where you don't extend him, but Shane Ray never looked like a dude you would extend. He had like a brief moment where he looked like a decent football player. He was bad. Like, Shane Ray was not good at football. Bradley Chubb is damn good at football.
Okay.
It's not even close. That's not comparable.
Why wasn't Shane Ray good at football?
He just didn't have the work ethic. He didn't have the desire. He thought he landed on home base the day that he got drafted, and he never put in the work that he needed to.
Because you should say it again. You like going against Shane Ray in practice.
Heck yeah, I liked going against Shane Ray. It was an easy win. Honestly, it was. And then he went down to Baltimore, and he got fat, and he didn't pass his conditioning test, and he was out of the league.
Okay.
So you can't compare Bradley Chubb to Shane Ray. That's not fair.
Sylvester Williams was quirky. You know, he was a first-round pick. He was deeper in the 20s. It's kind of a reclamation project. You know, he always did pretty good. He was a consistent starter on the team, but they just dropped him after 4 years. They didn't throw him a fifth-year option, and I really don't know what happened to Sylvester Williams after then. He had a weird career. Well, certainly as a first-rounder, you would expect more, but he was pretty serviceable for the time that he was here.
You know what happened really more with Slice? He played a position in which if you put the fifth-year option on him, you would be paying him more than you would even if you're giving him a top-flight contract, because he was an interior defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
That those guys, like, yeah, if you had to pay him average of the top three or what is the
top five for the first one and then the second franchise is top three.
All right, so average of the top five, you're going to be paying a whole lot of money that you say that doesn't make sense. Like, you don't play a position that's worth that amount of money. So even though you've been a good player and even though you've been productive, we're not going to put the fifth-year option on you because that's just not a spot that we want to pay.
It's a quirky career for Sylvester Williams here because – and he did come back, as you pointed out, actually, last week. But, you know, he played during some of the better years in Broncos history, including a Super Bowl championship. I mean, it's not what you want, again, out of a first-round pick. But you can't say he wasn't, you know, a contributor and didn't help you win. He was part of all of it. Just a very odd kind of career for that guy.
I think he played good football, man.
Yeah,
he just played a position that it's hard to make a big impact at.
Right, right. Okay, something came up today out in Dove Valley. Mike Cliffs picked up on something that totally evaded me. And I'm wondering, does it matter or not concerning Justin Simmons? So we'll let you be the judge and jury on it coming up next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
What a day yesterday for Pedal with Columbus, Tyler. Give us an update as to where everybody sits.
Yesterday was so incredible. I mean, it was an emotional roller coaster, dude. We've been doing so awesome with Pedal with Columbus from a donation perspective. fans, listeners, you guys have been behind me from day one. You made it a tremendous success last year. Petals Plumbus to beat ovarian cancer is powered by Safeway, fresh foods and local flavors. And this year is different. We got some businesses involved, in particular Safeway. They kind of kickstarted it all. They said they were going to give us $7,500 to get us rolling. Then we picked up a few more. We picked up Gatorade. We picked up Parker Garage, Superbook Sports, Denver Athletic, Primalware, Shomp BMW. I mean, we've got a lot of corporations that are involved that are donating big time money this year. And yesterday was a huge day because Safeway has got this deal going on October 1st through 3rd, where they're going to do a roundup at every single store in the state of Colorado. You will be asked if you want to round up $1, $3, $5 to donate to Colorado Ovarian Cancer Alliance. Now, the only issue with it, not that it mattered, but it was coming after Petals Plumbus. So I was like, all right, well, could you just give me like a vague number of what you think you might bring in? They said, look, we'll guarantee we're going to donate $25,000 to Petals Plumbus to beat ovarian cancer. Anything more than that that we raise, you're going to get that. But $25,000 is what we'll guarantee to you right now. And so then I started looking at the numbers, and my initial goal was to double what we raised last year, and that would put us somewhere around $80,000 this year. And I got a very generous donor who popped in and said, hey, I got $5,000, but I want you to get it matched. And then I'm like, all right, well, let's think about this. If I put in an additional $5,000, I'll get that matched as well. We could be over $100,000 today. Mm. This was yesterday that we're talking about this. Mm-hmm. So I opened up the show with a challenge, like, hey, can you match this $10,000 that we're putting out there? Let's get over $100,000. And, dude, it was like 45 minutes into the show that we were over 100,000. Last I checked before the show began, we were sitting, I think, just shy of $103,000. I don't know what's been donated during the show today. I'm sure there's been a little bit donated, but we're still taking money. We're still going to save lives with it. And you mm-hmm. can go to denverfan.com/pedal if you would like to be a part of this. And I'm just so incredibly grateful to all of you. I cannot believe what this has turned into. It's so much bigger. It's so much more than I ever could have dreamed of.
Well, I mean, clearly at this point, we should get $104,300 at least.
Well, that's a good point, right?
You know, we should at least be 104.3, right?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, we just kind of little milestones that we reach, and then we got to 80. Then it was like, let's get to 100. Right. Now we're at 100. Let's get to 104.3.
All right, that's not even greedy. That just makes some logical sense.
I mean, somebody just go on, see what we're at, right? And we could just...
Maybe we're round, I don't even know. We should actually look.
I will pull it up right now, but
yeah.
So it's just been incredible, D-Mac.
That's awesome.
I can't tell you what it's meant to me.
You got a nice little toy there, huh?
I did. I got an iPad today.
Look at you.
I got the pencil and everything.
Apple had a big launch doing their 13 and the 13S or whatever it is with all their other toys.
So I was thinking, oh, wow, we're over 103. We're at $103,495.
So we're less 103.4? So yeah. We're $900 away from 104.3?
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you want to be that person just to give $900 to make it 104.3?
Well, you could do it, D-Mac. Could do it.
I only have $20 from Zach Bond.
Yeah, there you go.
So that'd be kind of cool, $900.
We'll get there. We'll get past that. I have no doubt in my mind we'll get past that.
DenverFan.com.
Yeah.
Okay, top six on the way. We'll get there. First, I want to play a little game. Does this matter?
Yeah. Yes.
Mike Kliss. I got to give some props to our guy, Mike Kliss. He pointed out today when Justin Simmons came up to the podium to talk that other defensive players on the last series against the Giants just didn't play in the last series. Why? Well, you don't want to get hurt. And as it turned out, Ronald Darby got, well, we think he got hurt in that last series, but that's maybe a little, we don't know. But I mean, really seriously, if you're a defensive player and you're up the way the Broncos were, I mean, you know, you don't really have to be out there at that point. It's the last series. The Giants went in for a meaningless touchdown. I mean, the game was over. You know, why take any risks? But he did point out Justin Simmons was out there for every play because mm-hmm. he's got this consecutive play streak going on. And he asked Justin Simmons, were you offered to come off? And Justin said, well, actually, no, I wasn't. And, you know, he kind of didn't think about it. Justin Simmons hasn't come off for a play in, what is it, guys? Is like 4 years or something? I mean, it's absurd.
Yeah.
And certainly he's got to be defensively. Now, there may be an offensive lineman out there, maybe, who has played more consecutive plays than Justin Simmons. I don't know one. Do you have the actual numbers there, Richie? What do you got?
So Justin Simmons, who played all 1,085 of Denver's defensive snaps in 2020, owns the longest active streak of consecutive snaps played at 3,272 among defensive players.
Wow.
Right. So by a mile,
well, you can't break that. I mean, yeah, you're definitely not coming out of the game for that.
Okay. So I asked him today. I asked Justin Simmons today. I mean, does this matter?
Does it matter to you, though? I mean, you could just say, I'll play off.
Yeah, I mean, it matters that I'm available for my team. Like, I want to be out there. I feel like we have a better chance of success if I'm out there being able to not even just myself making plays, but putting the defense in position to make plays. So in and of itself, like, that matters to me. But the actual recognition of like a streak of, you know, playing X amount of plays in a row necessarily doesn't really matter.
So I agree with him inherently, but if it really doesn't matter.
He's lying.
Right.
Of
if
course
it doesn't
he's
matter,
lying. I mean,
why are you playing in that final series against the Giants?
Well, I do believe, I don't mean he's lying to the degree like he doesn't mean what he's saying. Like fundamentally, he does mean that, yes, what matters to me is that I'm available when my team needs
me.
We
all agree.
Right.
100%.
So, of course, no, I'm not calling him a liar, but yeah, I mean, it gets to this point. It's human nature that you want to continue.
It's become a thing,
hasn't
it?
You want to be the dude. Why not have the greatest run of all time? You know, like, why not be Cal Ripken? Why not go for something like that, right? Of course it matters. No chance you'd get me out of the game. If I had a streak like that going and it came down to the final series of the game, I'm not coming out. No.
Okay. But Justin Simmons is so important to this team. It is football, and Darby may have got hurt on the second to last play of the entire game when the game was over.
At some point, you just got to trust the guy that you know what you're doing. Like, you know how you got this far because you know how to stay healthy, and you've gotten this far by contributing and helping my team, and I'm not going to pull you out and ruin your streak. Like, that would be a selfish move on the coach's behalf. If you told him, like, if you said, Justin, you have to come out of the game right now because I'm afraid you're going to get injured, that's a selfish move on your behalf.
Yeah, but isn't it just standard operating procedure? Once the game is over, you just take your starters out, period? I mean,
more or less, but it's not very often that you've got a situation like Justin has.
Okay. So it matters.
It would matter to me.
It would matter to you.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man.
I like to have my name in the record books.
His name is in the record books. I mean, I don't think there's anybody close to him
every
right now.
Every day that goes by, every game that you play, it gets more and more.
I just, knock on wood, hope nothing ever bad happens to him in some sort of blowout one way or the other.
And your jinx. Like, the amount of bad juju that you put out there today is just unbelievable.
Blame Cliff.
Take it all back.
Blame Cliff.
Hey, don't put this show on the podcast. There's way too much bad juju coming out of D-Mac today. Are you kidding me?
It was all on Mike
Cliff. Why would you even say something like that?
It's Mike Cliff's fault. Top six is next.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.